if a mom is going through a lot of stress when she gives birth, that stress hormone is passed on to the baby. And some of that stress is because of racism and discrimination.
Welcome to the Brother Be Well podcast. I'm Leon Guidry from 97.5 KDEE, and this podcast for boys and men of color addresses the importance of mental health and wellness. Each week, we deliver inspirational stories and life hacks to reduce disparities, remove stigma, heal trauma, and to end prolonged suffering.
Hello, I'm Michael P. Coleman, Content Director for Brother Be Well. During this podcast, we're discussing racism through a lens through which we haven't typically seen it as an adverse childhood experience, or ACE. As many of us know, ACEs have a monumental impact on future violence, victimization, and perpetration, and lifelong health and opportunity. We also know that people of color are disproportionately impacted by all of that. To help us have this conversation today, we've got an esteemed panel. Some of the names you're more familiar with maybe than others. Cherie Kreiner is a registered nurse and vice president of the Capital City Black Nurses Association. Cherie, welcome back to Brother Be Well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. It's great to have you back. You too, Gustavo. Gustavo Garcia Rojas is a clinical advisor with HearYou.org. Gustavo, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me once again. I really appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Really great to have you back. And new to the platform as of today, Dr. Bree Gentile is a senior product designer and researcher at the Center for Youth Wellness, a program of Safe and Sound. Dr. G, as you like to be called, welcome to Brother Be Well.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I'm going to ask you, Dr. Gentile, to kick it off for us here. Define, if you would, ACEs, or adverse childhood experiences, for the Brother Be Well family.
Yeah, so ACEs stands for adverse childhood experiences, as you just said. And really what they are, they're stressful or traumatic events that children experience before the age of 18. 1988, they did a study and the researchers identified these 10 original ACEs, which are physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, physical and emotional neglect. And then you have things like household instability, where we get into mental illness, incarcerated relative, mother treated violently, substance abuse, and then divorce. The two significant things that came out of this study were that, one, ACEs are incredibly common. Over 65% of the study group had at least one ACE, with 13% having four or more ACEs. And the other thing that was significant is, as I like to tell my teens when I do these ACEs training, is mo ACEs, mo problems. Your triple risk for heart disease or lung cancer, and there's a 20-year difference in life expectancy for children with high ACE scores if they're left unsupported.
Holy cow, that's huge. We're going to get at a little bit later in this discussion how we can mitigate some of that. And hopefully, you know, maybe the generation will come in the not too distant future that we're not talking about ACEs anymore. That's one of my hopes anyway. Thank you, Dr. Gentile, for kind of outlining that for us. Let's talk about now the connection between ACEs exposure and toxic stress. You talked about some of those very specific health issues that can come up, but can you talk about a little bit, Dr. Gentile, and then Gustavo, maybe you and Cherie can jump in. There's a connection between that ACEs exposure and built up toxic stress, which is what causes, as I understand it anyway, some of those or all of those health problems down the road.
Yeah, you got it. You said it really well. So if stress is severe or chronic, it will cause changes in our bodies. And those changes may lead to significant health problems. So ACEs is almost a type of a toxic stress. But essentially, when our system is always on or always firing and overtaxed by repeated and intense chronic stress, there's a cascade of chemicals and reactions that go from protecting our lives to damaging our health. And if they're left unaddressed, that toxic stress can negatively affect our developing body and brain. It disrupts our learning, our behavior, our immunity, even our growth and the way our DNA is read and transcribed. And so over time, even though it happens in our childhood, over time, like I said, if left untreated, these can lead to some serious health problems as adults.
We're going to get at some of those serious health problems. Maybe, Sheree, I can ask you a question. Have you treated folks that are dealing with some of those serious health problems as a direct result of ACEs? I understand from an earlier conversation with you that hospitals have started to do that ACE screening. We're going to kind of later on in this conversation reveal some of our own scores. I hope you all had a chance to take the screening yourself. I was stunned by my score, and I'll share that in a second. But Sheree, have you had patients that you've had to treat there in the hospital who are very, in a concrete way, dealing with health problems due to ACEs exposure?
Absolutely. And I would say that you almost have to anticipate that from everyone, as Dr. G said, that everyone may have at least one. So when you're treating the whole patient, you're also considering the patient's environment, mental and emotional state, and all of those types of things that go into treating the whole patient and what they're presenting for. And then a major part of what we do in healthcare with patient interactions is to not only assess and identify, but also provide resources and identify a way forward in those situations. So it's more so understanding not only what's presented in front of you, but what things may be impacting that patient's health at home.
Wow. Wow. Gustavo, anything to add to that before we go on? You as our mental health clinician, I would imagine that you've got clients that you've dealt with as well that are in your office due to the past ACEs exposure.
Being able to have that ability to have been working in different areas and different environments, I've been able to see the difference exposures, right? And different youth with different difficulties due to maybe experiences, environments. And so the biggest things that I try to advocate for and destigmatize is on mental health. And I, the beginning exposure to mental health is just so important, especially to our youth and next generations coming up, and obviously to the generations right now. But getting them exposed to this help, right? What we're seeing right now is individuals dealing with things that talked about back then or weren't seen as serious things or maybe not brought to light, right? So now we're trying to like work backwards and help these individuals in morally like a kind of narrative approach, right? Seeing what happened in the past, figure out these things that are things that may be unconscious, right? It's like that iceberg. What are those things that are down there that not everybody can see, but they can see the top layers of it, right? So that's what we've been working with. That's what I've been seeing with youth.
Got it. And I appreciate that. And you've kind of touched on perfect transition into our next question. But I need to add, Dr. G, you mentioned that, you know, all of those health related issues that can come up. And as you said, Sheree, we can expect really to come up. The two that really stopped me in my tracks as I was doing a little research was you mentioned life expectancy. I believe you mentioned it, Dr. G, a 20-year disparity, their gap with life expectancy. If you've got a high ACEs score, it just literally stopped me in my tracks. So we've got to get our hands around this and put an end to this, I think. The current ACEs screener, I alluded to it before, identifies 10 experiences that are considered adverse. 1 in 10 children nationally has experienced 3 or more, placing them in a high-risk category. Not terribly surprisingly, children of color, as we mentioned at the top, Black, Latinx, and Asian Pacific Islander kids fare worse than their white American counterparts. I learned 61% of Black non-Hispanic children and 51% of Hispanic children have experienced at least one ACE, compared with 40% for white non-Hispanic children and only 23%, interestingly, of Asian non-Hispanic children. In every region of this country, the prevalence of ACEs is lowest among Asian non-Hispanic kids, and in most regions, it's highest with Black and Hispanic children. Before we get into the specifics of racism as perhaps the 11th ACE, anyone have any thoughts? I mean, some of it, this is a bit of a rhetorical question. It's no surprise to me that children of color are more directly impacted. But as this is Brother Be Well, I just wanted to touch on that. Maybe Sheree, I don't know what's leading me to say you might have something to say about that. It's probably something you said during a past podcast. So why don't you lead us there in talking about people of color and how and why we're directly impacted by ACEs?
Well, absolutely. Oftentimes when we talk about racism being an ACE or ACEs in general, you think about, well, you know, individual racism are the way we treat each other, but it's really the structural, the institutional racism that results in residential segregation and, you know, redlining. People can only live in this area, which limits your resources, or you're in a food desert, or you're in a high crime area. And all those things contribute to those behaviors that cause these experiences for children in those environments. So unfortunately, yet again, racism rears its ugly head in a structural way where you're set up for these things to almost expect them to happen in certain areas. It's why in healthcare, we can tell you what your health outcomes are likely to be based on your zip code or your socioeconomic status or other factors that are impacted by the environment or the social constructs of health. And so that's really part of it. And that's how it comes into play, is because, you know, you cut off the resources and then you create this environment that fosters all of these adverse events that can happen.
Wow. Wow. Gustavo, you got something you want to add to that?
100%. And, you know, when I was reading it, I was like, yeah, racism, of course. And then I was like, what about like discrimination? And it's like, right when I saw the, you know, that as well, I was like, yeah, definitely. And from a Hispanic point of view, you know, growing up Hispanic, I actually think like those numbers for all the ethnicities, like, are actually higher. Like I was saddened to see them, but I wasn't surprised, you know? And I think that the reason why I say that, is because, growing up in the, you know, growing up, I grew up in Mexico, 7 years old, I came over here. Right. And so growing up in these kind of environments, some things are like culturally, like not asked to told, I mean, we're told not to tell about them. Right. So these numbers and stuff like that, how we get to them and stuff like that, are they fully all the way there? Right. Obviously we're not going to get 100% of everybody to get into these questionnaires and do these right, or be able to mark everybody. But I think from perspective, I think it might be even higher, and you know, so yeah.
It's interesting that you say that, Gustavo. A couple of the measures, I had the same reaction, but I was a little surprised that in some cases they were so high. I want to talk about that screener. I appreciate you sharing that you are Latino. I'm African-American. For those of you who don't know, I took the screener and I scored 7 out of 10. And if what I've learned is true, and you know, the whole knowledge of ACES and the research is fairly new to me still, but it's a bit of a miracle and a testament to really, really great therapy that I'm even sitting here talking about it, because now I can talk about some of those adverse childhood experiences in my own background, where before I didn't even have the mechanism to do that. I had internalized all of it and kind of grew up in a house where you didn't talk about things. So these incredibly traumatic events would go on, and then we were, and you know, no disrespect to my parents, they were trying to make it work too. They were doing the best they could, but you know, they got us up in the morning and got us dressed for school and marched us off. And the last thing we heard was, "Don't tell anyone what happened." And I was well into my 40s before I realized that the negative impact, the toxicity that was introduced into my body, as you shared, Cherie, just by not sharing, not talking, and internalizing all of that. I've shared just before we go on, I'm just curious if you guys are open to it, if you had a chance to take that screener. Gustavo, you were just talking, what was your ACES score? I'm curious.
I would say that's 8 out of 10. Yeah. I don't know if I'll, yeah. So I got 8 out of 10 on that one.
8 out of 10. How about you, Dr. G? Where were you?
So if I take the ACES screener, I'm a 4. If I take the Pearl screener, which I can chat about a little bit later, I'm a 5. Yeah. So I'm up there.
You're up there. And how about you, Cherie, if you're comfortable sharing?
I was going to say, you know what, Michael, funny story. I'm going to actually share this story because I also teach classes for medical students, nurse practitioner, and physician assistant students. We specifically teach about race and health. And we were doing a talk on ACEs, and we had everyone to do their score in the room. And the most profound thing happened that day, where some people had never really come to the realization of some of those things that had previously happened to them, or even looking at the impact it may have. And I remember sitting there thinking, it bummed me out. And it wasn't a new concept. We were there teaching it. We were in this learning environment. But it's still surreal to me today when I think about my numbers. So I don't share it, but it's more so a process of me getting to that point and being a work in progress in that scenario. I definitely share a lot all the time, but it's one of those things that was very pivotal to me in my adulthood in that moment. And as I'm still working through it, it's something that's still very real. And especially in light of, you know, the chronic conditions that I deal with, yeah, and, you know, a plethora of things, but it's still impacting me in full transparency.
Yeah.
It still impacts me every time. So it's been something huge that I'm still working through.
Well, I appreciate your candor, as I always have, Sheree. And in fact, when I crafted that question, that's why I added, if you're comfortable, because I know the day not all that long ago, I wouldn't have been comfortable at all, Sheree and I. And I think it's been a part of my recovery to just be as transparent as possible. So, you know, I completely respect where you're at. And I thank you for that candor and that transparency. I really do. Let's move on and kind of wade into this racism question a little bit more. Many experts support the inclusion of racism. So we've talked about those 10 ACEs, and a lot of experts, and there's some emerging research that suggests that we should add racism as the 11th ACE. New research is supporting this, exploring the impact of racism on the experience of trauma, mental health, and health disparities, especially among Black youth. The experts argue that exposure to racism, and it shows up by way of discrimination, all the things we've talked about, discrimination, stigma, minority stress, historical trauma, which is a fascinating one to me, should be considered as an enhanced ACE measure. I'm curious about you, all you guys signed on to this podcast right away. So I got a feeling I'm going to get three yeses from this one. But I'm going to ask you, what do you think about adding racism as an ACE? Would you agree that? And if so, if you agree it should be added, I was surprised that the current research, or at least what I could find, didn't include Native American or Indigenous children in that mix of the groups that have been directly impacted. Maybe that's a bit of Native erasure. We could talk about that on Brother Be Well as well. But maybe Dr. Gentile, you could get us started there. Do you support the inclusion of racism as an 11th ACE? And then what are your thoughts about it? To me, you know, given the, if we talk about historical trauma, I don't think anything is more historically traumatic than, colonization of the United States and having Indigenous people driven off of their land and practically eradicated. I don't think you could get any more traumatic than that, but you're the mental health professional and the medical professionals you guys are. So Dr. G, why don't you lead us in that discussion?
It is a resounding yes for me. Absolutely. I am Nigerian Native American, Apache, Plains Apache, but I was raised white because I didn't have kinky hair, according to my maternal grandmother. So I absolutely went through a lot of hassling, made to feel inferior, excluded because of my race. And so I absolutely believe that those things, that I experienced toxic stress because of those things. And I was at risk just as the same as I was for having other ACEs for health impacts. Mm-hmm. And I think the hardest part is that it often happens not only at the individual level, but at the systemic level, like you mentioned, which makes it way more pervasive and harder to predict. And it's the difficulty of being able to predict, which leads to that cascade of chemicals, like I talked about before, and not having that buffering adult or a supportive relationship as an adult that can lead to those health problems. And so, yes, resounding yes for me. Absolutely.
Resounding yes. How about you, Sheree? Resounding yes?
Absolutely. I would say heck yes. For all the many reasons I mentioned before, and this conversation always makes me think of the book, The Body Keeps Score, by Dr. It always misses me. Vanderkolk, that's a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. And basically, I mean, that's true, right? Your body keeps score. When you're having this high stress cascade that creates all these reactions in your body that are meant to be fight or flight or freeze, but they're happening all of the time.
Yeah.
It's like wear and tear, like we talked about last time, Michael, like wear and tear on your car. It's just like more mileage. You could drive a 2021, but if you have 200,000 miles on it in that first 2 years,
yeah,
it's not going to run the same as other cars that may be the same age.
Yeah.
And I think that it's the same situation, and that we do have to consider it in physical health care and mental health care and all care of each other and our approach to really helping our communities, because it's very key and pivotal in all of our experiences. In fact, I remember last year, one day I was just like, I almost didn't even want to get out of bed. And someone's like, well, what's going on? Are you feeling sick? And I was like, it's black stress. nothing else explains it.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't have a physical ailment per se, but I'm like, it's heavy on me. Like, I can't function normally today.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, we talk about last year, we're recording this, this will go on in perpetuity here, but we're recording this mid-2021. Just a year ago was, you know, George Floyd and the whole Black Lives Matter thing. And because I've always been a news junkie, you know, I used to keep either the radio or, you know, TV on, even in the background while I was working. And I realized that one of the maladies from my youth, I used to have horrible, almost debilitating headaches. And I had a doctor who, you know, decades ago, after he kind of screened me and checked me all out physically, he said, I think these might be what we typically call stress headaches. And that was the first sign that I had that stress can show up in your physical body. Well, I've since learned how to manage my stress, but I had a hiccup last year because everything was coming down at the same time. And I found myself having those days just like you, Sheree, where I was just laid out on the couch. You know, if it hadn't been so tragic, I'd have had a cocktail or a glass of wine at 11 in the morning, because I'd just lay there with a cup of decaf and go, I can't even function right now. And so it does show up in our bodies. Gustavo, before I move on, I just want to ask you, we've got two yeses. Can I get and you know, your host is going to not vote, so it's up to you guys. Are we three for three? Would you agree that racism needs to be added to these screeners?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah, I would definitely agree. And, you know, when I was doing the questionnaire for the ACEs, I was really battling between some of them, because culturally, and I'm not condoning this, right? But growing up, like, I got whooped by my parents, you know, yep, growing up and stuff like that. But that was looked at as in, like, okay, right? So I grew up thinking that's good, you know, and these added pressures and stuff like that. But now looking back at it, like, now reading about it and stuff like that, I'm like, well, maybe I lost some of my confidence or some of my, where I changed a little bit. But also, I'm kind of like at this edge of like, it helped me as well. You know, at that point, it helped me be where I'm at right now and have this structure in my life. But at the same time, is it the right way to go about it? No. So you see how I'm kind of like in the cusp of like, you know, this like growing up both in different cultures, right?
Yep.
And I think that's where a lot of individuals may be stuck in. Like, what do I answer that may be right? But now that I'm growing up and stuff like that, I'm like this now, you know? So that's something that I had difficulty with kind of like explaining and taking into consideration when I was doing it.
It's something to think about. And you just reminded me, Gustavo, Sheree, you'll recall, we did here on the Brother Be Well platform, brotherbewell.com. You can you can listen to podcasts on a variety of topics, just like this one. Sheree, you remember we have recorded an entire violent series, and we wound up adding, and I think, you know, one of our guests today, Sheree Kreiner, was responsible for my adding corporal punishment to that violence series. So we were talking about gun violence and community violence and domestic violence. And then Sheree and I wound up in what I call the Brother Be Well podcast after show, when we stopped recording these podcasts, and we were just chatting about our own experiences with corporal punishment. And I started to do a little research. I too, like you, Gustavo, you know, my dad would whip out whatever he could grab in a disciplinary way. And it's been only as an adult that I realized, there may have been a better way to handle that, and the historical link to corporal punishment, especially for people of color communities. So I don't want to sideline us here. If you're interested in listening in on that conversation on corporal punishment, go to brotherbewell.com. You'll be able to take advantage of that there.
Thanks for listening to the Brother Be Well podcast. I'm Leon Guidry. Shout out to our sponsor, Blue Shield of California's Blue Sky Initiative. It takes a village, and we're doing our part to address and heal trauma while supporting parents and caregivers along the way. Thanks for stopping by. And remember, my brothers, be well.